News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Hey, listen, folks, you're listening to WVNN, which is the News Talk powerhouse across North Alabama. And you're listening to the biggest show in the afternoons here on WVNN, Right Side Radio. But if you find yourself driving outside of the otherwise broad range of our AM-FM capability, just know this. You can listen to us anytime, anywhere. All you got to do is go to rightsideradio.org. That's our website, www.rightsideradio.org. And you will find the listen live option. And I'm going to tell you right now, we got folks that listen from all kinds of states. I mean, I'm amazed sometimes at the people who tune in and listen. I just texted my buddy Parker, who works at Alabama Policy Institute. He helps me with that website. And I asked him, I said, hey, Parker, I'm seeing that like over 4,100 downloads of the show right now. How many hits are we getting on the website? He said, we've had 4,400 views of the website. 1,200 of those have been unique users, meaning that some people are coming back and others are brand spanking new. That's a lot of activity, folks, and I just really appreciate it. So listen, I want to switch gears on you now, all right? I didn't expect it to go that long, but we talked for an hour about COVID and about COVID restrictions and about, you know, accountability in COVID and what you're going to do about vaccines. Let's switch the subject completely, all right? Let's go to something else, Afghanistan. And I'm going to bring it all around to why does it matter to us? Let's get out of there, man. It's just, you know, it's a foreign intervention. I mean, it's going to be a civil war. What are we doing there? Why do we got to go there? And so I'm just telling you. First of all, I will say this over and over and over again, especially having served there myself. You veterans who served in Afghanistan, your time was not wasted. Your time was not wasted. Are you hearing me? Your time was not wasted. I don't care to what end your sacrifices. It was not wasted. You gave the Taliban a run for their money. You pushed them out the door. The Biden administration invited them back in. You literally gave the people of Afghanistan 20 years of breathing room. You did. You gave the kids there a chance for an education. There's an entire generation now of Afghan kids who grew up getting schooled, and they understand now, and they could see the world from a bigger picture. That never would have happened if it wasn't for your stellar service. I believe the war was won by the folks in the boots. It was lost by the people in the suits. That's what it boils down to. All that to say, what next? I mean, what's happening over there right now? Charlene, y'all know my lovely wife, Charlene. She is as politically astute as anybody I know, and she just sent me an article that just popped up literally in the last hour, breaking news right now, is that the State Department, I mean, and this is, by the way, this is not like we feel like the State Department's in the way. This is literally a leaked email showing that the State Department has literally been refusing to grant official approval for some of the private evacuation attempts coming out of Afghanistan to land in third countries. What the heck? I mean, you couldn't get them out. You know there's Americans still there, and the State Department is going to get in the way. Well, now, listen, I'm not just reading the news on this, by the way. I'm in contact on a regular basis. Even today, I was texting with one of the gentlemen just a few minutes ago, with one of the private groups. So you're seeing these stories right now. If you're not familiar, Mazar-e-Sharif is one of the larger cities in Afghanistan. It's in the northern part of the country. When I first came into the country as a special operations team moving in, I came through a semi-clandestine base we had in Uzbekistan called K2, Karshikanabad is what it's really called. And I flew in to Mazar-e-Sharif, and then I had to go overland to Kunduz, which is where I spent my year at the beginning of the war. I flew into Mazar-e-Sharif Airport. I know where this airport is. I assume it's been upgraded since then because it was kind of run down, and it was basically Talibanized, if you know what I'm saying. The Taliban break everything. They're Neanderthals. They have no idea what they're doing. And so the Mazar-e-Sharif Airport, I've been in contact daily with one of the guys who's helping coordinate the exfil or the ability to get people out, and they've had private planes sitting on the tarmac in Mazar-e-Sharif with almost 2,000 evacuees, majority of whom are either green card holders, SIV holders, some American citizens, and plenty who had served in the Afghan military alongside U.S. forces, and they're all been approved to leave, and then the Taliban has been getting in the way, and now what we find is the State Department is getting in the way, literally. I mean, I've got a series of text messages on my phone right now as this guy that I've been in contact with is updating the group, and I hope, by the way, I'll just call him Ron. I'm hoping Ron's going to be on the show in the next day or two and tell us firsthand what they're dealing with. I mean, they're raising money for these private operations. They are literally working as best they can to get people out in a way that the government is refusing to do, and yet the government is now getting in the way. What the heck? I mean, if you could, you know what, I'm trying not to be a conspiracy theorist, but part of me really believes that one of the last things the Biden administration wants is for an American citizen to get out after spending, you know, a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks being held hostage by the Taliban, because the Taliban have made it very difficult, very difficult. Threatening, beatings. They're saying they're going door to door right now, executing people who have blue passports. And I'm just telling you, it is getting ugly. But all that to say, we have American citizens and green card holders and approved special immigrant visas sitting over there right now who were abandoned by the Biden administration. And the last thing that the president wants right now is to have one of those folks get out and hold a press conference and say, I'm sitting here with a passport and I was turned away when I tried to get in the gate in Kabul. And it took this private organization to get me out. And the State Department kept stopping it. I'm telling you, they're making it worse. They are making it worse. If they think they're going to have good sound bites come out of this, they are sadly mistaken. Story came out yesterday, last night, I think it was, that literally the State Department, there were four Americans that recently did get out. A former special operations guy actually helped them get out overland, and they got out, and now the State Department is trying to claim credit. And this guy is furious. He's saying, they had nothing to do with this. Where's that story? Hang on a second. Let me find my paper. I got some stuff on this. Literally, here it is. Army vet refutes State Department's claims on rescue of American family, saying, and also, by the way, saying the Taliban did, in fact, interfere. A guy named Corey Mills, he's pushing back after the U.S. State Department took credit for the rescue of an American woman and her three children from Afghanistan. I mean, come on. But in the course of doing this, okay, I'm digressing. I got off on a tangent there. Chase that rabbit. Squirrel! All right, so listen, you got all this stuff happening right now. But in the meantime, you have to ask yourself, what's going to happen? Why does this matter in the big picture? If we don't want to be in Afghanistan anymore, why does it matter to us? Well, I'll tell you why it matters. I'll tell you what, better than that. Let's get clip four ready, Copper. We're going to clip forward. This is a long clip, so I may stop you a couple of times during the clip and talk about some things. General Jack Keane did a great job this morning of breaking it down. I've been saying that literally what you're going to wind up seeing is an emboldened Iran, an encouraged China, and for that matter, even maybe an encouraged Russia, and certainly a more outward Pakistan. Pakistan's been working subliminally or subversively in the background of this whole thing and training the Taliban and harboring them for years. And now they're out in the public because literally the head of the ISI, the intelligence service for Pakistan, just showed up on a surprise visit to meet with a new Taliban government the other day. Just, you know, hey, here I am. I'm out in the open now. I'm just, folks. But let's listen to what Jack Keane says. Copper, go ahead and play clip four.
That the beneficiaries, the direct beneficiaries of our departure from Afghanistan would be our adversaries who are right there. That's Russia, China, and Iran. China and Iran border Afghanistan. And I totally disagree with the president. They are thrilled that we're out of there. We had seven military bases and multiple CIA bases inside of Afghanistan on Russia and China's border. China and Iran's border, and one country away from Russia. They wanted us out of there, and now we're out of there. And certainly, they're going to take advantage of this situation as best they can. Certainly, there's some risk for China, because they don't want an epicenter of radical terrorism forming in Afghanistan, nor do we. Russia doesn't want that either. But nonetheless, this is an opportunity for them to gain influence in Southern Asia and Central Asia, and for China to continue their Belt and Road Initiative, which their central and signature initiative is Pakistan, to extend that into Afghanistan. So, yes.
Okay, let's stop there, Copper. Go ahead and stop it for a second. All right, folks, if you think I'm kidding, all right, why does it matter? Well, I mean, take a look at what's happening right now. I mean, you just heard General Keane, who's one of the most astute observers and pundits when it comes to international and military relations. China in Iran. Well, here's a story fresh off the press just this morning. I think I took this down off the Daily Wire. Israel's military chief says they are accelerating their Iran strike plans. Really? Military plans dealing with Iran's nuclear program have been greatly accelerated, Israel's military chief warned, as questions on the ability to revive a landmark accord limiting Tehran's weapons development continue to grow. So, number one, understand this. The Biden administration has walked away from an opportunity to be on the eastern shore, eastern border, if you will, of Iran. Walked away from it. You just heard General Keane say the same thing. We had the ability to stage from their eastern border, and we have walked away from it, abandoned it, just set it aside and walked away. At the same time, Israel, our longtime staunchest ally in the Middle East, is looking at Iran and saying, holy cow, they are emboldened enough to the point that we better accelerate our Iran strike plans. And for Israel to say that in a public manner is literally an indication that this is more than just supposition, all right? Why does it matter? It matters because we're talking about nuclear war with Iran. It matters because we're talking about Israel, with whom we had the Abraham Accords under the Trump administration just last year, a year and a half, 2 years ago. We were seeing peace treaties in a way that no one ever believed could happen. The idea that Israel is suddenly now looking at having to fight on its own, because do you think the Biden administration is going to back them up? No. And if it happens, it's going to be a game changer in the Middle East. Why is it having to happen right now? Why are they accelerating? Because suddenly Iran feels like they no longer have to look to their east. We're gone. And on top of that, and I'm going to throw a little Phil Williams supposition out there. If we see a sudden immediate return to negotiations by the Biden administration with Tehran over their nuclear programs, I'm going to wonder, was this a carrot and a stick we got out so y'all would negotiate? If we do, someone needs to call it on the carpet. All right, I got no choice. I got more of that Jack Keane stuff I want to play, but we're going to go ahead and take a short break. And when we come back from that, you're going to want to hear the rest of this. Like China? China too? What's China care about Afghanistan for? I'm going to tell you. And I'm going to tell you what it means in places other than just Afghanistan. What does an emboldened China look like for the world? Folks, it matters. It matters to you and me. It matters to every green suitor and defense contractor out there at Redstone. It matters. And it's happening right now. Phil Williams, News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. It is 3:54 p.m. here on Tuesday, September 7th. President Biden is touring the hurricane damage right now up in Queens, New York. I say hurricane, it was tropical storm, I guess, when it got there, but boy, it did some damage up in Queens, New York. He's giving a speech. It looks like he's doing his angry shout at the microphone thing. Got his Ray-Ban sunglasses on. Hoping that's going well. But anyway, nonetheless, those folks do need some help. And FEMA should be Copper's laughing. I know. Just bear with me, Copper. I'm trying not to be too biased, but, you know, sometimes it just comes through. Hey, listen, so back on the issue of Afghanistan and why does it matter? I mean, why does it matter? I mean, China. So I talked about, all right, here's a little geopolitical analysis. Western border of Afghanistan is Iran. I talked to you about that. Why does it matter? I mean, we're out, right? We got out. We need to get out. We shouldn't intervene everywhere. We should be isolationist. I love Tucker Carlson. I mean, he's got some of the best commentary of almost everything, except I disagree with him on the idea that we should be an isolationist nation. We can't. We can't be fully isolationist. I'm not talking about going to war with everybody who blinks at us wrong. But what I'm saying is there are going to be times and places where we have no choice. We have to go. And you have to look at it, too, from the big picture, and you have to ask yourself, why does it matter? Well, let's look at the eastern border of Afghanistan. A lot of folks don't realize the eastern border of Afghanistan is actually where you can find China. And China cares what's happening in Afghanistan. And it's just it's a small border, but China, by the way, does not want to see Islamic extremism, so they're going to take a very interesting role or interested role in developing Afghanistan's relationship. And now that we're out of the way, they can do whatever they want. The other piece you got to recognize, too, is that China is the world's largest provider of rare earth materials for microchips and one of the biggest deposits that has been found in rare earth materials is in Afghanistan. I'm just telling you, China has an interest. They have a self-preservation interest against having Islamic extremism because they deal with some of their own extremism in the western side of China, but they also now don't want it to brew too hard on their border, so they want to be friendly to it. So they can do all they can. Afghanistan, we love you. We're here for you, those mean Americans. We'll take care of you. We're China. And China is looking at what it can do now. At the same time, China is watching. Copper, are you still ready? Does that clip we had of Jack Keane, is it still poised and ready to go from the last part where it was playing? I can't hear you. You good?
Yes.
Okay, great. Tell you what, before I go into the article that I've got sitting here in front of me, go ahead and keep playing General Keane just for a minute.
Opportunities here, certainly for these countries, but I'm also concerned very much about what it will mean for these countries in terms of how they look at the United States. And they believe that the United States is weakened by this, particularly in shoring up our allies. Then they're going to move to take advantage of that situation. After all, the facts are all three of those countries are masters at trying to gain influence and do that short of war. And
all right,
I think
stop
that
there.
Those campaigns.
Stop there. Okay, so here we go. Take a look at what he just said. China and other near peer actors, they call them, China, Russia, secondary, not a peer, but still nonetheless an adversary, Iran. They look at this and they say, we see a weaker United States. What other things do we want to do that we couldn't do under Trump? Or for that matter, even under Obama? I mean, literally. And you're looking right now, here's an article that came out today on the Daily Wire. You're not seeing this much on the mainstream media. China's military jets have repeatedly flown into Taiwan's air defense zone since the Biden's Afghanistan withdrawal. You hearing that? It says right here, a total of 19 Chinese military aircraft, including fighter jets, have flown into Taiwan's southwestern air defense identification zone on Sunday alone. Holy cow. So what you're seeing here is an emboldened China that believes that it has nobody to stand in its way because they see a feckless administration ripping itself out of Afghanistan and leaving a power vacuum, and they recognize right now they don't have to worry as much. And so these near-peer actors and these adversaries are seeing reasons why they can stand up and do things they would never have done before, never have done before. But suddenly they can, merely because of the way the Biden administration has dramatically and awfully taken the, basically the honor out of the service done in Afghanistan. All right, folks, I got more on this. I'm going to come back and tell you more about why it matters here on News Talk 770 AM 92.5 FM WVNN Right Side Radio. We got the top of the hour break, and we'll be right back.